All right, everybody. Welcome to our first recording in way too long. So I guess we should start with, we'll apologize for the unofficial hiatus in a second. To start off with, welcome to DPIY, where DIY is not what we're good at, but it is how we make our podcast. I am Jake, and with me is my long-suffering co-host, Mr. Verano.
How's it going, guys? Long-suffering. Yeah, kind of true, but I feel like we both suffer with each other. So it's fair. Sorry for the long spell of no episodes. It's been an interesting 5 months of the year. So we've just had a struggle to really meet up and get this episode going. We do thank all the listeners that we have. Please still keep passing on the word to everybody. We're actually really close to 50, which we thought we wouldn't get to. So,
hey, before we get there, let's we did try to record one episode, but it was a testament to my ADHD where I tried to record it while I was driving. I was distracted. There was the conversation went everywhere. I'm pretty sure we started talking about Hush and didn't even explain the storyline to the listeners for them to know what the hell we were talking about. It's a recording. It's an interesting episode. And as Mr. Verano was saying, we just found out that there are followers. We had been using Anchor, and Anchor had told us like how many listens we would get, but we didn't know that we had 41 people who actually follow us, which is just fucking cool. Thanks, guys. And so that's what Verano was trying to thank you guys for, but I wanted to lay some groundwork. But yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Like we say every episode, if those who actually hear us, please keep passing the word along to anybody and everybody. And I would be happy if we can actually hit 50. And then, next goal is 51.
But hey, beggars can't be choosers. And since we had originally been calling you guys our dirty half dozen to our dirty dozen, finding out that we have more than three times that is just fucking awesome. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you very much. And so today's episode will be another tangent, not like Hush, where, so we're going to different
like
tangents.
But we do want to say, our I think our idea is when we reach 100 listeners, we will reach back into our recordings if we can find it and possibly release that disheveled Hush recording. But not until there are so many people that are listening to us that it's like, hey, remember when we were this bad?
We might still be that bad, but you never know. So today's, we have a couple things. Jake, did you finish watching at all Titans?
No, because they just started coming back out with those. I watched up to, I guess, Brother Blood.
Okay. I've kept up to date as to where they're at. It's good. I like the story. They gave little credits to prior shows that they had done and prior shows that another network had done. So I was like, oh, this is actually kind of cool. Awesome.
Well, and Titans, like a lot of things, DC's fucking clearing house right now. Titans is in its final season.
Which sucks because it's good.
Flash is in its final season.
About time.
Most of the CW shows are ending. And really, I find the CW thing disappointing because I feel like they had lightning in a bottle and they fucking squandered it. I feel like they had a lot of really good stuff and they just kind of started making pandering stuff and there were so many limitations on what they could do that, I mean, the amount of times I heard, you know, over 30 white guys going, I just don't get these shows. I had to be like, look, you're not gonna. It's not made for you. And
yeah, I never bothered with Supergirl or Stargirl. I was like, meh. But
the thing is, they kept picking villains and picking people to like appear on the show that would appeal to like older males who read comics, but the shows themselves were not made for those audiences, so it just never connected. You know, you had the teen shows that teens will always watch, but then the next teen show comes around, it's like, well, fuck it, I'm gonna watch this instead of that. You know, teens are fickle. There's a reason why you, why would they are the way they are, and they were picking characters and storylines that diehard fans would have loved, but then not doing it in a way that you know, the diehards weren't gonna get.
Yeah, it's a real shame, but yeah, we actually both did for once finish watching a show almost around the same time, Mandalorian.
And it was good.
Surprise, surprise. We actually, you know, me and Jake were actually on the same page almost. It's usually I'm behind. I'm behind you and you're done. And I'm like, I still got three episodes. Shit.
Oh, I thought you were going to go with the almost being that I, I once again over expected of my own.
Oh, no, that's just a given. Whoever actually listens to this, like we say, our actual 41, which is a surprise, you know this. He overexpects too much and he's just disappointed. I, on the other hand, just go with it. And I'm like, hey, this actually didn't suck as much.
And so this time, like, you know, they also know that I mitigate, you know, I watch it when I can binge so that I don't sit there and write storylines in my head that I think would be better. I watch when I can binge. This time it was because I have such a, I think Star Wars Rebels is one of the most underrated Star Wars shows. And there were connections in The Mandalorian that happened really early on, and they didn't expand. But it makes sense why they didn't expand. They're gonna expand in Ahsoka, but I got all excited for things that might connect to Rebels, and then not as much connected to Rebels as I thought. But it was still a fucking awesome season.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. I liked the exploration in the culture and the people, and just their trying to reconnect.
Yeah.
I liked it all. I really didn't. Also, what's Baby Yoda's name again? No, he's not Baby Yoda.
Grogu.
I loved him. I thought he was hysterical.
I
like that he's kind of, well, he's not towing the line, but like he's just, they're showing more of his character. And then they gave him the robot. I thought it was just hysterical because he just keeps pressing the same damn button.
No. He's fucking Daniel Bryan, man. They stole Daniel Bryan's gimmick for Grogu.
It works, okay? Daniel Bryan's not going to pull it off as great as Grogu, okay? How can you say no to that face? It's hysterical.
Here's the thing. Yeah, there's a debate to be had there, but really what I would say is that Grogu, I mean, you got to speak to the skill of the crew when a freaking puppet is that has that much emotional connectivity to where you can relate to a puppet.
Yeah.
And not even like it's not even like a Muppet, like expressive puppet. This is just like a little, I mean, for all we know, for most of the scenes, it could be a hand in a stuffed animal.
Yeah.
But they do a really good job with it.
They really did. And like we both are saying, the season was great. Hoping they just push on ahead with all the other projects that they have. And hoping to see freaking Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
I'm hoping to as well. My problem is, and it's a problem that I think a lot of people are having with these Disney shows and movies, is that they're really, it's not as linear as people think. So, like, I've been telling people, there are a lot of people who watch, like, Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness, and said, oh, I just didn't get it. And the reason they didn't get it is because they watched Doctor Strange 1 and then went to see Doctor Strange 2 and went, what the fuck, these don't connect. But it's because Doctor Strange 2, Multiverse of Madness, is actually the concluding story of WandaVision. And it's the same with a lot of these shows and movies where, like people were like, oh, Thor Love and Thunder was horrible. And it's like, well, no, Thor Love and Thunder was pretty much Thor Ragnarok Part 2. But the most important line in Thor Love and Thunder was, and so Thor sat and waited for someone to say, hey, Thor, come help us in this fight. Because guess what Chris Hemsworth is going to do for the next few years? they're not going to come out with a Thor movie. And then when they do a big crossover, Thor's going to show up and everybody's going to be like, holy fucking shit, Thor's there. Yeah. Because he sat and waited until they said, hey, Thor, come help us with this fight. Like the line in the movie. Another example is Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. Did you see that yet?
Oh, I loved it. That was one of our pieces, and I forgot that we were both going to talk about it. I liked the exploration that they did into it.
I was so, it was a good movie, and yet I was so pissed off because I spent the weekend before I went to see that movie watching Ant-Man 1 and Ant-Man 2. And this movie, Quantumania, does not connect to Ant-Man 1 or Ant-Man 2. Much like Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness and WandaVision, if you're going to see Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania, watch Loki first.
Yeah.
Because Loki introduces the timeline and introduces literally what they're actually dealing with in Quantumania. But I went in going, I can't wait to see Luis, and Luis isn't fucking there. And that's why I was so mad. I wanted Luis. I wanted Michael Pena. I missed Michael Pena in this Ant-Man and the Wasp movie. And that's not a reason to say it's a bad movie. It's just I went in expecting it because I watched the first two movies and his scenes. He was a scene stealer. He was awesome. And then he wasn't in it at all.
I love your expectations. Just really crush you down.
I know, right? I just need to go into these without these damn expectations.
Yeah, I just go in. I'm like, cool, let's just watch this movie. I'm like, oh, that was great. I was like, wait, this might not connect, but all right, and I can see where it can lead into it.
It's just like we haven't seen Guardians yet, but one of our mutual friends who has seen it already said it was a pretty good movie, but awesome. He said they did Adam Warlock dirty. And I went, well, no. they ran an Infinity Gauntlet storyline that didn't have Adam Warlock in it at all, so they pretty much had already done him dirty, so how dirty are you saying? And he didn't give me spoilers, but he said it was, like, sucks for Warlock, but it's not a bad story, you know?
Yeah, all right.
That's cool. Damn. Well, Adam Warlock's a character who was in his prime in the 70s and 80s, and most people don't get him now.
No, they wouldn't. They wouldn't.
So, like, it makes sense, but, nah, still miss it.
Yeah.
What other... here's one that is kind of tangentially related to comic books. It's actually why CW went so far away from... part of the reason why CW went so far away from, the things that would, like, when we were talking about the CW shows and how the old white men wouldn't get it, part of the reason for that was Supernatural. If anybody watched Supernatural, it's an excellent horror show, but one thing that
for the first five seasons and then afterwards it became shit. But yeah, you were telling me the Winchesters
seasons were hit or miss, but the Winchesters came out
been meaning to watch that,
but really what I'm saying is, like, CW realized they had a niche when they started following internet chatter, and all the internet chatter about Supernatural was fan fiction about the two brothers, you know, fucking each other. And they were like, oh, so we have a really weird niche. And so they went with that niche. And that was why I said, you know, straight white 35-year-olds are not going to get these shows, because they realized they had a, you know, 17-year-old gay kid audience. And that's what they sort of made shows for. Makes sense. It's business, but
yeah, doesn't help the rest of society. We like to enjoy some of the actual classics.
Well, when those old white guys would tell me I don't get this show, I'd be like, well, it's not made for you. I'm still gonna watch it, because if a person loves a person, I don't really give a shit who it is. But, you know, if you don't get it, you don't get it. But that's the thing about the Winchesters is not tied to that. But I was saying, like, it. And that's not the only reason that the CW shows didn't succeed. Like, everything has tons of reasons why things happen. There's not one reason for most things that ever occur. But this is, but like, that's one of the potential reasons why CW DC shows didn't really eventually take off. But that's just a tangent on my side. Really, The Winchesters was a pretty fun show that I can't spoil too much about, but I really hope there's a season two, because, you know, it's new, it's young, and it's not at a point yet where you can really say whether they did a great job or just a good job, but they did do at least a good job. I would like to see them be able to take their storylines a little bit further. And right now there's no confirmed second season, so that's what I'm kind of worried about.
Oh, gotcha. Besides Mandalorian, I've just been watching Star Wars, The Clone Wars a bit. Again, just for my own sake. Yeah, besides that, I don't think there's... Oh, Sasha is trying to finish Doom Patrol finally. Which I did appreciate that Titans connected with Doom Patrol
for an episode. I like Doom Patrol, but it's one of those things where you gotta... I tried to watch... I was three seasons behind, so I tried to watch three full seasons, and I couldn't... I got to, like, two, and then I was like, okay, I'll watch the rest later. I think
I finished one price. I don't even think I finished season one. I might have. I need to finish it, but I was like, definitely like Titans. Hoping they finish soon. They're good.
The time travel season got too confusing for me. It was just all over the place, but it's a good show. I think one of the biggest takeaways from Doom Patrol, one is that I think we've all missed Brendan Fraser. He's a great robot man, and
he's funny.
Punk rock since I was in high school, so him always being in the classic punk shirts, and sometimes they're like t-shirts that I used to have or still have, and they just have lots of holes in them because I've worn them the fuck out. But so that's cool. I think there are actors in there who just have always been completely underrated. I think her name is April Balbi. She's probably been she was Candy in Two and a Half Men, but she's been in a bunch of stuff. She's probably just like that pretty idealist face that you recognize but don't really know the name of, and she's really good in this. As
I liked her in this. As soon as I saw her, I was like, oh snap, that's Candy from Two and a Half Men. She's great.
Yeah, and I mean, Diane Guerrero, this was kind of a breakout for her, but she's fucking awesome. Matt Bomer, you never see his face, but
his wasn't voice he in is White emotive. Collar?
He was, yeah.
Yeah, I figured. I was like, that's definitely his voice. I was like, he's awesome.
Straight down to, Timothy Dalton playing Niles Calder. Like, everybody in it is very good at what they do. They're playing the thing about the Doom Patrol is they're meant to be weird. So you kind of got to be into weird stuff because it's going to be weird.
They are. And I've liked their episode for it. Or their episodes. Like I said, I need to finish it, but it's been a good show. Yeah, they canceled it, right?
It's another one that's ending after the last season or current season.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's see. What else? What else? What else? Oh, you know what we skipped over was I made a modest proposal to you a while ago. It's not really a modest proposal. If you guys know what we're referencing, it has nothing to do with cannibalism. Do you know that one, Fabio?
Which one?
It's a Jonathan Swift essay. Jonathan Swift's the guy who wrote, I think, Gulliver's Travels. And in Victorian England, he wrote an essay called A Modest Proposal where he was making fun of how people think about the poor. And so he proposed that to solve a population problem, the rich start, eating the babies of the poor, and the poor could sell those babies. And he called it A Modest Proposal. So on my card, where I wrote out our plan for the show, I said a modest proposal or a new goal. And I was saying, it's not really a modest proposal. We don't really have any design for cannibalism, but I referred to it as a modest proposal because I was proposing it to you. Basically, part of the reason for our overextended hiatus is just crazy work demands that, at least for me, I don't know about you, but are leading to a desire to really rethink my 5-year plan. And 10-year plan. And so one of those things that I thought about was, I've never really considered myself a retirement type person. I've always thought I would do something, but with what was going on this year and with what fun we do have when we actually get the chance to sit down and record, like, we love talking about this stuff. We talk about this stuff not unrecorded for hours. And then, we record a portion of what we talk about. So,
And we do have a variety. Like, we also, if you've heard us in the beginning too, we are complete wrestling nerds on different levels. But, I mean, tying into it, like, slightly, Rey Mysterio is a big, fun person to watch because he will love to reference any superhero. And he has some really fun stuff that he gets made. And Cero Miedo, Penta is also a big fan of comics. I mean, for a time, he was coming out to Joker, his Joker costume, and I was like, ah, that's pretty legit. It actually looks really cool.
But I mean, also, like, Alexa Bliss, back before
cosplaying. Yeah, you're a big fan of hers. I never care on her.
But back before cosplaying at the big shows was a big thing, she was doing it. And yeah, she kind of she was one of the people who led the charge on that. And then, like, Selena Vega does it. Selena Vega does it really well, but Selena Vega takes it to the next level where she's not just doing it for the pay-per-views. She goes to the conventions in cosplay. Yeah.
Like, she enjoys it.
That's awesome. And she drags other people into it too. Like, I remember seeing photos of her in the New Day that were just so cool. Where they were all dressed up, as Mortal Kombat characters. And then, the one I was thinking of, I'm not a fan of her current booking. I think having a Goldberg run on the mid card is stupid because it doesn't, it cheapens the main title.
Because Jade Cargill?
Because if you know exactly who I'm talking about. If you're so good on the mid card, then why the fuck aren't you challenging for the main title? Why are you still in the mid card? So Jade Cargill's little 54-0, 55-0 undefeated streak, the booking makes no sense to me, but I do really respect how she's come out dressed as She-Hulk. She's come out dressed as Storm. She does the Jade cosplay too.
Yeah.
Jade from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. I think partially on it, I think they're really trying to protect that she's very green compared to a lot of wrestlers.
I get that. And that is fine.
But it's like, they want to hold as high of a standard as they can about the women's title, which
current booking has kind of left it. High standard.
They kind of left. I don't know. Jamie Hayter's doing great. So
she has the TBS title. She has the mid card title. If they want her to be this strong, they shouldn't have done it with a title on her, because as soon as the title that she's holding is not the main title, then it raises the question and cheapens the main title. You know, it raises the question, why isn't she challenging for that title? You know, and it cheapens that title. Like, if she had this Goldberg run with no title on her, then they could run it where she's so strong that even, like, the women's champions are just like, we're done. We don't want a piece right now. We don't want, like, they could have done this run without a title, but as soon as they put the mid-card title on her, it made it confusing as to why. Like, anybody who holds a title is going to be undefeated, because once you're defeated in a title shot, you lose the title. So that part's not in question. But with her being booked as so strong in the mid-card, you know, they're not going to push her up to main event because, like you said, she's super green. But the booking just makes no sense.
Yeah. I don't know. I've actually met her. She's really nice. She's legit jacked. She's still fairly intimidating, but a sweet person.
No, that's the thing. I'm not taking anything away from Jade at all. I don't think it's Jade's fault. Jade doesn't book Jade. Jade does what they book for her. So, you know, I'm not complaining about her at all. I'm just complaining about the booking and why it's been this way.
I'm just saying, like, I don't know. Like, I think, maybe give her another 6 months, but I think she's been doing better, where she's built a decent amount of work. But, and I know, I'm assuming she still is working very hard to, like, open her repertoire of moves. So why not kind of give her the shot? And she doesn't, I don't know, she does maybe, you know, actually give her a couple losses. Like,
hey, you know what no one's complaining about with Jade? No one's complaining that she's careless and injures people. Like,
no,
Bret Hart did with Goldberg.
She takes it. She's been very careful. I've never heard of anything overall, or never seen that, you know, someone is, you know, kind of moving a little wonky afterwards. No, she's been very, very safe. Yeah.
And I really do, like, I don't want this to take away from, I don't want people to think, oh, he doesn't like Jade Cargill. It's not about her. It's about her booking. It's about the decisions that the people above her have made for her that kind of just don't make sense.
Yeah.
And it comes to a point where, like, I actually don't mind Jade as a wrestler, but I want Taya Valkyrie to beat her. I want Taya Valkyrie to take the title so that someone maybe just a little bit with less polished booking, because they give her this polished booking where she gets a lot of squash matches. And I want somebody who's got a little bit more experience to take that title and sort of have a little bit of time with it. I mean, they're doing dirty shit on the men's side too. I don't think Wardlow should have won the TBS title over Powerhouse Hobbs.
Recently?
Yeah.
I wasn't paying enough attention.
I was annoyed with that because, like...
No, how long did Powerhouse have the title anyway?
Like, a week and a half, 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's bull. I think they should have given Powerhouse a 3-month title reign at least.
Yes.
If you want to throw a good rivalry between the two. But yeah, that's classic WCW booking. You know, you just kind of go in really quick and just for the minute. You shouldn't do longer storylines.
Yeah.
One thing that we usually would always crap about WWE, but that's what they're working on, is longer storylines. Which I think finally took them long enough to see that New Japan has done really well with that. And they do. They plan a year fucking ahead on a lot of shit. And they rarely have to diverge from it unless there's a serious injury.
And I do think that a lot of people, like, wrestling fans are heavily fickle. So there's a lot of complaints about things that don't fucking matter. You know, I think that AEW is good for what it is. I think if you like a more polished product and want the top of the line, then WWE is for you. I got tired of WWE.
I'd say New Japan. New Japan would be a lot better.
In this country, you got to think about access, and it's kind of going to be one or the other.
I know. Yeah. Actual quality work to see New Japan. But yes, unless you have cable or you know which network they're kind of on. Yeah, WWE's, they're doing better.
They're still running with it. Like, they still have the same rules. So, like, one of the things that it surprised me when I started watching AEW, but I actually kind of missed DDTs and pile drivers because I grew up with them and they made sense in storylines with me. I get why WWE was trying to do away with them because they're insurance and they're beholden to, they've had the more controversy surrounding concussions, but there are things that you don't realize you miss until you miss them. And then the other thing about WWE is a lot of it was super predictable. Like when I stopped watching WWE, it seemed like every week you'd have someone come out and do a promo and then someone else come out and interrupt them. And then two more people come out on one person's side or the other or both. And then someone would come out and go, hey, let's just make this a match. Let's make it official. And then you'd have a tag team match as the second match of the night. And it was just like, oh, so whoever comes out second is going to be in a tag team match with whoever comes out third, fourth, and fifth. Okay, got it. You know, it was just really predictable.
What was it? What's that? Oh, my God. What Culture? They always, you know, Simon Miller's always kind of picking on it for a good reason. It's like, yeah, it's the same repetition. I gave up a lot about even trying to watch WWE. I'm like, nah, same crap, whatever. Just boring shit.
See, I like AEW, but there are times when things are really telegraphed. Like last week on Rampage, I could tell who's going to win most of the matches because when one person comes out with an entrance and the other person is already waiting in the ring,
I
wonder who's going to win.
Yeah.
And now, AEW we both is notorious that for that.
Yeah.
When you go to their live shows, when you would go to their dark shows, they do that a lot. They would have a local person come out, stand in the ring, and then whoever they were going to fight would come out and to their entrance. And then it was like, gee, I wonder if the challenger already in the ring is going to win. No. And then it really bit him in the ass on last week's Rampage because they went with they were in a really, really hot local market. And so some of the local wrestlers were more over than some of the wrestlers they were trying to
promote
storylines for. So yeah. Like my favorite was when they had Keith Lee out and he was doing his little concert maestro thing.
Yeah.
It turned out that the people were actually chanting for the other guy doing a stupid dance in the corner. I thought that was hilarious. But getting back to our comic book based stuff, so you can see we can get really distracted with wrestling and the things that we discuss ad nauseum. We can talk for hours about this shit, believe us. But getting back to something related to comic books, when we were talking about kind of how we've been doing our own thing and rewatching random stuff, one of the things that I've been rewatching, have you ever watched Dragon Ball Z Abridged by Team Four Star?
No. I tend to hear about half of this, and I don't know, I'm much more of the classics. Like, I've been reading more about, like, the Dragon Ball Z, like, I guess a rewriting of it, and any other mangas, so I don't know if you ended up even watching Demon Slayer. Really good anime. I'm still trying to read the manga or find where I can read it. I haven't for the moment, and yeah, just...
You should go to YouTube and look up Dragon Ball Z Abridged. It's a parody series, but because they're using clips from the show, they pretty much follow the show storyline, throw in their own jokes. So like there's a Krillin owned count, and like I was that mutual friend I mentioned. First off, get well soon. He hasn't been feeling really well, but also to kind of cheer him up, I was trying to send him some out of context Dragon Ball Z quotes, particularly from Nappa. So, like, there was one where...
Nappa's always freaking hilarious.
Well, it was the scene where, before they get to Earth, where Vegeta and Nappa make that pit stop on the bug planet, and they bring out, like, this big bug for them to fight. And Nappa's kind of, like, childlike, and he goes, "Oh, Vegeta, can I keep it? Can I keep it?" And he goes to play with it, and he destroys it, and he goes, "Oh, I've broken it in, Vegeta. It must have been made from something weak, like papier-mâché or Raditz." And I thought that was hilarious. The Ore Raditz. And, like, they have so many jokes where they're making fun of, like, how weak Raditz is. And they call Yamcha Earth's Raditz. And, like...
I mean, he sadly is. I like Yamcha. I always liked his character, but I was like, he's just cannon fodder. Poor guy.
Popo's hilarious. They make Popo into, like, this sadistic character who, like, does not care for anyone's well-being. Oh, my gosh. Basically, because Goku dies and goes off to train with King Kai and leaves Gohan with Piccolo, they run a story that, like, there's all these jokes about how Piccolo is really more like Gohan's father than his own father.
I mean, for a time, yeah, that's how it was in the story. He looks up to him more.
And recently I got to pull out one of the other funny characters. They have Guru be just hilarious, and I got to pull out one of his lines where he says to Nail, "Every party needs a pooper, and that's why they invited you." And I got to use that on my wife recently.
Nice.
and it was so apt, she couldn't even be mad at me.
Damn.
Though she was, but it was very apt when I brought it out. So, but yeah, you should definitely take a look at it. It goes up to up through the Cell Saga, and then they do with some of the movies too. And it's just like... dubbed over scenes.
I think you've shown me a couple of them, and they are funny, but I was like, I always love the original source, but yeah.
Well, they tell you to, there's a disclaimer in the beginning where they tell you to please support the original material.
Yeah.
So anyway, we we started.
I don't think there's been anything else recently as much.
Yeah, but the thing is, we kind of ended that conversation. We'd started to mention what I was calling the modest proposal, and then just got completely sidetracked.
Yeah, I mean,
so
this is our episode. This is how we go.
So, Verano, we got two more things. We got the modest proposal that I wanted to mention on air because I want people to understand kind of where what our plans are and what direction we're going. And then I also... So for this episode, I read all of Avengers versus X-Men versus Eternals, which is it's a storyline from about 6 months ago. And then the other, what we have coming up for the next episode is I've been reading through all of the Earth X stuff. So Earth X, Universe X, and then Paradise X. And it is massive, interesting, slow to start, and a little confusing. So we'll talk about that next episode. We're going to get into AVXVE today. But the proposal is that, you know, I'm in a career I'm not sure I want to maintain in 10 years. But what I would be interested in doing is more entrepreneurial. We talk about comics all the time. We go to comic book shops, we read comics. I have subscriptions to sites on our phones. And it would be interesting to be able to, not interesting, I would love to be able to do that all day. And so one of the things that I floated to you, Verano, in a text, and I think you were kind of on board, was the idea of like a sort of hyphenate shop. Doing the research, doing the real research, finding a good location, and having a sort of comic book slash board game and collectibles slash sort of concession area. The idea is to have the board game and collectibles have a sit-down area for people to actually sit and play, like the games, like the tabletop games, D&D, Warhammer, straight down to if you want to just sit for a few hours and play Monopoly with your friends, but just a location for people to play some games and get some popcorn, sodas, and stuff like that, but also have a half of the store be also comic books and manga and the stuff that, and, you know, wrestling collectibles, the stuff that we really like. So it's kind of like that all-in-one hyphenate shop. And we do the research, but, you know, we've never really had our main goal for this podcast, in my opinion, was kind of getting through the Cable and Deadpool storyline. And then we got really, like, recently we've done more episodes. We still do the Cable and Deadpool storyline, but we found that we really enjoy doing the episodes where we just talk about comic book stuff. And
yeah, shows or any books, any new series of books that really comes out. Oddly enough, as we're talking, I'm rewatching Morpheus right now. And I know right. We talked so much how we both, you know, given how he was introduced in the 90s on the show, it was a letdown of a movie, but I'm like, you know, it's hard. You're trying to introduce a character that literally most people did not pay attention to and barely would even recall from 90s Spider-Man. They're like, oh yeah, he was a villain. I was like, he was fairly misunderstood, and that's true. And I'm like, oh yeah, the other villain in this is freaking Doctor Who from last recent 10 years.
Well, and the thing is, people are so all or nothing. They just all of a sudden go, oh, I didn't like this part of it. It was horrible. It's like, yeah, no, it's okay, not true. And that's okay.
But as Jake was actually talking about this, and I'm intrigued as well, as he's kind of rethinking his 10-year plan, I'm in a transition myself to be in a job that would allow me to do more on my free time. I think it would be amazing to maybe have a shop, like he's saying, that it's comics, it's wrestling, it's board games. I know that there's been more board game places that have opened up recently, and a lot of people really like it. And, you know, same thing. It's definitely a board game / restaurant. You want people to sit down. You know, if they play games, you're going to, you know, order stuff. Awesome. And we would like any suggestions or, you know, any feedback would also be great. You know, just to see, maybe we can figure out a location that we both haven't thought of.
And we're not looking like out cooking. Like, we're talking like, you know, when you go to the movie theater and there's popcorn and nachos and hot dogs. And if you get it on the game, well, then it better be your game or you're going to have to, you know, pay an insurance price or something like that. I don't know. We'll figure all that out in the future. Right now, it's just the proposal. And with that proposal, it kind of shifts our goal. Our goal used to be to get through the storyline. But now, I think the two goals that we have moving forward, the long-term one is to start to move towards this idea. The short-term one is to dedicate ourselves to at least one episode a month.
Yeah, it's been a struggle. Definitely, if you hear us, you know it. But we are. And as of it, I think we can definitely do that. It's shifting us to the time that we think we want to record. I think we both come to a good proposal that we do it earlier in the day of the day of will work. Being in person will probably be also a little smoother just for any electronic miscommunication or misfiring. And No, but as you were saying that too, I've actually thought of possibly in a way. I mean, you know this, I've done martial arts for a long time. We both love pro wrestling. I was also thinking of trying to find a location where I can, we can open a gym slash like a traditional gym, has weights, but a martial arts and wrestling school, like have the proper, I guess, lifting tools to assist those who want to learn and just, you know, be in a better state mentally, physically, and emotionally. The reason I've stuck with martial arts so much is it does let me focus my energies into a much different aspect and let go of the stresses. Seems like everybody today is just dealing with a lot of things. So to be able to make a place where you can come in and just, you know, focus on something completely different and probably get your stress out and just enjoy. I think it would be cool. So I was just kind of stating that we just stated earlier, please give us any feedback or any ideas. We definitely appreciate it.
Also, don't be surprised as we solidify these plans and move forward, we probably will start to, I know most of the time we've been saying, and we're still on this track, we would love to whore ourselves out. Okay. If we had the opportunity, we would love to sell out and have advertisements on the show. But short of that, we may start solidifying plans for like a Patreon in the interest of moving forward with these goals to sort of open shops and expand on what we do here.
Yeah. And so, if we get, you know, these episodes coming in and, you know, we do have that Patreon, we could try to do, you know, maybe as we do an episode or maybe our slightest, biggest contributor, you can be a guest star with us for the episode. You know, please jump in with us and we can just have a fun time going over the certain subject. And, you know, just it could be interesting. I mean, you know, you could have repeat guest stars in that sense.
But you would have to deal with us making jokes like when South Park had that thing and they had the kid Alex on. Alex kept coming through and being like, yeah, guys, I know we can do this. And then the whole town would look at him and be like, who the fuck is that? When you mentioned having someone on, that's where my mind immediately went, like having them on, but then also completely being like, why are they here?
Trust me, I'll remind, it's like, look, they won. You're going to have to work with it. So these are some of the things that we're kind of throwing in that we think will give us an edge, help us out. But I think, you know, we'll probably have those who are listening to us enjoy a bit more. And like I said, we'll definitely whore ourselves out to, if we have a sponsor, great, please, you know, assist us. But we'll always keep saying it every episode, please pass the word along to who you can. We would appreciate it highly. And, you know,
so the only way we'll get that sponsor.
Yeah. So, you know, please pass the word. We'll still do the same. We do it on Instagram on either of our pages or IDs. Mine is Mr. Ver.ano. And for Jake, it's, I forget yours.
DPIY.pod.sa.
Yeah. And we'll kind of put it on the episode. You can definitely find us. And I really need to update mine and actually put more content in there. I'm going to get back to drawing up new designs. Maybe we have designs for shirts. We can figure it out and have some things set up to give.
My whole problem with Instagram is I'm a troll and I know it. So I have to, I avoid it so much because I wind up arguing with people.
I just don't bother getting on there because I like to stay focused on other stuff for now.
Well, it doesn't help the podcast, but I'm being a dick to people online, so I just stay away from being online.
That's kind of our episode, I think, for today.
No, it's not. We still have Avengers versus X-Men versus Eternals. So,
all right, well, I'm just going to let you know, my phone's close to dying, so we have to make that quick.
Okay. So, basically, they ran a story. Marvel ran a storyline, Avengers versus X-Men versus Eternals. It's in the modern era, and it's, you know, it's based on the event. Current headquarters is in a hollowed out celestial body. The X-Men are functionally immortal and living on their own as their own island nation and coming up against political threats that way. And the Eternals, well, they're just there. And like, I think the most poignant thing about the Eternals, so I'll explain in a second. It's five takeaways. Basically, they go to war because the Celestials are the gods to the Eternals. So they kind of, the Eternals are kind of looking at the Avengers like, what are you doing? It's a, like some Eternals are mad at the Avengers for living in a god's hollowed out body.
I can see that. Yeah.
The X-Men, they realize, are close to the Deviants, which are like the Eternals' enemies. So the Eternals view the X-Men as excess deviation, and their new, there's a coup in the Eternals where Druig becomes leader instead of Zuras, and Druig decides, fuck the X-Men, we're going to take them out because they're excess deviation. And then the Avengers are kind of caught in the middle because certain Eternals have been Avengers, like Cersei and Star Fox, and but the Avengers are also very close to the X-Men, like, you know, Black Panther was married to Storm at one
Storm time. Yeah.
So you know, they all go to war, and in the end everybody's changed, but also nothing has changed. It's actually pretty cool because by the middle of the war, they're not actually fighting each other. They bring a new Celestial to life, and the Celestial says, you have a day, I'm going to judge everybody. And then they have all these side stories where, like, people go and, like, the people that you wouldn't expect, and basically they get judged by this Celestial. And, like, you wouldn't expect certain things. Tony Stark passes, Captain America fails. Cyclops passes, Emma Frost fails.
Cyclops dies?
No, he passes. The Eternal says he passes judgment.
Oh, that sucks for you. God damn it.
So, I guess, okay, so my first takeaway from this whole storyline is the Eternals are, I don't know, they're fucking, they're boring. I don't like them. If you like the Eternals, I'm happy for you. We will not agree on their comics. I just find their comics so dull. I think the most apt thing, and the only Eternal I really liked, was Icarus. But I think the most apt
I hated him from the movie. I like the who's the big Asian guy?
Shit, I don't even remember which one he's supposed to be.
I think he's supposed to be like Gilgamesh.
Maybe.
Yeah, but I liked him. I liked him.
See, in the comics, Icarus is cool because find out Eternals are functionally immortal, but every time an Eternal dies, what happens is a human dies, and the Eternal, the energy from that human becomes the Eternal.
Yeah.
So, like, Icarus finds out that this kid's supposed to die in, like, 3 days, and he goes and tries to do everything he can to stop it, and then he gets called away to enter this fight, and when he dies in the fight, that's when the kid dies.
Yeah.
And they reveal this, the good Eternals reveal this to the entire world. So, like, it's not all I guess it's just the storylines. I don't get into them as much. So I'm not as big on the Eternals. I think that the one thing I agreed with every time it came up was the Eternals comics were narrated by the World Machine. So essentially they're narrated by the Earth, and it would go, Icarus is a tool. And I was like, yes, he is. Even though they were saying it in the sense of, like, Icarus is like this, like, kind of like a screwdriver, a tool to be used. And I'm sitting there going, nah, he's just a fucking tool. but in the end, I really did gain some respect for Icarus because he was one of the ones that was like, no, the humans have to know that when we die, one of them dies. And, like, so sometimes that's been what happens. And he actually goes very similar to, like, if you watch Captain America and the Winter Soldier, when Bucky goes to everyone on his list and tells them about how he was brainwashed, but he was the one who killed their loved ones.
Yeah.
Icarus does a very similar thing.
Okay.
And sort of tries to atone, tries to make amends. Let's a mother just fucking throw boiling water on his face and be like, did that help at all? Like, doesn't fight back. It's just like, did that help at all? Like, there's some really cool and powerful scenes. I'm still not going to, like, jump and buy Eternals comic books. So that's one takeaway. The other takeaway is the judgments are surprising.
Judgments are surprising. You wouldn't have
to have them. Uh-oh.
You good?
Yeah, it just repeated me, so I don't know what happened.
I was getting a phone call.
So the judgments are surprising, in the sense that, like, you, like, considering the last 10 years, I wouldn't have thought Cyclops would have been okay with the Eternal, but the Eternal, the Celestial was like, yeah, good for Cyclops. So, like, some of those judgment scenes are really cool and are for really interesting reasons. Overall, takeaway number three, Earth does fail. Comic book writers love to make it out like they know they have the philosophy that the world should be following and the rest of us are deficient. So Earth does fail. But the cool thing is, in the end, they wind up convincing the god that maybe he's not as infallible as he thinks. And so he goes, well, I fail. And so, like, there's some cool stuff there. Number four, what would be my number four? See, I don't have them written down in front of me this time. I kind of let them go, but I wanted to talk about the storyline because it was really cool to read. It is very big and expansive. Kind of like all their
It sounds really cool.
But the one thing is, like, there are two different ways the comic book companies do crossovers. There's the Secret Wars / Crisis type of crossover where they basically throw everything in and it's so massive that you can't get through it. Or there's, like, the crossovers like this one, which is a little bit more limited. So, like, yes, everything, there are side issues where literally everyone in the comics get a chance to be judged, or at least everyone that you would care about, like Spider-Man and Daredevil and Cable and the X-Men and all those different, and all the individuals that you would want to read about. But it's pretty much limited to Avengers comics, X-Men comics, and Eternal comics. So, like, Spider-Man doesn't get as affected by this. He has some side issues that show up because of what's going on in his story and this kind of getting thrown in, but overall it's still more related to Spider-Man, you know? So, like, this is one of those ones, I think the overarching, like, world resetting ones can be fun, but they got to be done right. And sometimes it's like, you're just doing that because people bought it the first time. And, like, there I'm thinking specifically of, like, Dark Knights versus Dark Knights Metal. But, and then, what would be number five? Number five. Don't you love how I'm making these up as we go along? Number five. I remember what one of them was that probably wasn't my number five, but can be now, is the Avengers really just get fucked with in this storyline.
Yeah, they sound like they're also just in the middle being screwed over.
They're in the middle, but like in the beginning, Cersei's like using her psychic powers to fuck with Avengers, and like the X-Men are hiding things from the Avengers, and like so it's it really does kind of bring like the Avengers are just kind of there to be sort of led by the nose. The other two are the ones that are doing major stuff, and the Avengers are just kind of like, wait, what happened? That happened there? Oh, fuck, we got to go respond. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, they're just the firemen playing catch-up.
Yeah.
To a fire, it's like, shit.
Yeah. And then there was one more point. Not a main point. The X-Men stuff does lead into, I'm giving it a few issues because I think they just started it, but the X-Men stuff does start to reference this current Sins of Sinister storyline that seems really fucking cool. So I can't wait to be able to read some of that and bring you guys some of that Sins of Sinister stuff. It'll probably be in a couple of months. But coming up, like I said, we have the Earth X stuff. So I've read... basically all I have left are the tail ends of, I'm like halfway through Paradise X and the accompanying stuff. But one of the cool things about the way the Marvel Unlimited app does downloads now is they do it based on when, they populate in your list based on when they were released. So like when I was downloading for Paradise X and I downloaded the specials that went with it, they go in order in my download list because were released in order. So yeah, like perfect. I just had to follow my list and I'm reading them in order, and it's been really helped in being able to read these things.
Well, that's good.
So go Marvel Unlimited. Woohoo!
Yeah.
You know what we should probably do? We should remember last time we actually recorded, we kind of signed off They kind of signed off with a phrase that was disparaging to a certain city in the United States whose name means, if I'm getting my movie quotes correct, a whale's vagina. I guess
New Jersey?
No, that's the United States armpit.
Oh.
We signed off with that phrase from Anchorman regarding San Diego, and really we have nothing against San Diego, I don't think.
I don't know. It's right next to Mexico. Just saying, it's not pretty.
Hey man, their weather's probably beautiful than some of the weather we have here in Virginia.
Yeah, and then in like 10 years, they're just going to break off and be an island and sink. I don't know. We'll see how that goes.
Just reminds me of that Rancid song, Let California Fall Into the Fucking Ocean.
Yeah, they might end up doing so.
But yeah, I guess we'll issue a half-hearted apology to San Diego. We're sorry we said fuck you. Kind of.
One of us is.
Well, we're not really. I mean, I've said it to so many people before, and most of the time in jest. If you take offense to it, then you got to understand. I believe in kind of George Carlin's version of dirty words. If you really are that offended, you're giving too much power to a word.
You are.
So yeah, kind so... of sorry, San Diego, but not really.
Yeah.
And with that, I will let Verano have the last word.
So yeah, just signing off. And as to what he said before, still, fuck you, San Diego.